Hey guys, and welcome to this episode of Taste of Premier. Today we're going to talk about Windows 8.1 and what is new. So without further ado, cue the music. Hey guys, what's up? This is Lex. I'm here in the beautiful LAX Microsoft store, and we are going to talk about Windows 8.1 today. I have my special guest, Ilya Gertenboim. Ilya, you there?
I am. Thanks for inviting me, Lex.
Yeah, anytime. Anytime. Ilya and I have been friends for a long time. Dude, I haven't seen you in person in a while, but I see you all the time online.
We're all virtual now.
That's right. We are all virtual now. So how are things, man?
Very good. All the discussions around Windows 8, 8.1, and all the devices that are coming around have just been exciting. My new role around it as a device specialist has introduced me to more of those conversations. So it's been an exciting time, and I think we're going to see a lot more over the next few months.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited. I saw today for the first time one of the Surface Pro docking stations for the new Pro 2. And it's pretty freaking cool.
It's definitely going to change how people think of those devices. Desktop replacements are really the new norm. We saw that shift from pure desktops to laptops that are mobile within the office with docking stations, and now tablets with docks are going to be the new way to work.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I'm pretty excited about it. It just, you know, it makes the device a lot more personal.
Absolutely. It's back to that PC, that personal computing experience.
Yeah, absolutely. So today we're going to talk about Windows 8.1. You're the expert, so I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. Tell me what your favorite things about Windows 8.1 are.
Yeah, no worries. I love talking about Windows 8.1. It's probably my number one favorite feature coming from that kind of end user side. And I work across so many devices like we all do. Everybody has a number of devices besides the phone. We're working across different Windows 8.1 devices. My favorite is the ability to sync my applications and my settings across those devices. Now, we started a little bit of that before with your profile and some things coming across. Now, it's just getting really, really rich and robust. So I do a lot of demos. I do a lot of setups on different types of devices, and that personality that goes across those devices is just so easy.
So, Ilya, what's the technology that allows us to do that?
Yeah, so it's kind of an interesting way to look at that consumer plus in the enterprise, what's the technology. So what I'm mentioning is really just based on our Microsoft account and really the cloud settings that we're storing there for your profile. It's not something I control. It's not something I even care about, but I know it's just there, and that's the beauty of those cloud services. So this is something that developers are able to tap into to kind of build on applications and put those profiles essentially in the cloud and bring those back. And then certainly enterprises have a rich way to do it, just like we've done before, with a tighter control of where those settings that follow those apps that are managed by IT. But in this case, that my personal persona that blends with my work persona, this part is just kind of done for me, and I thank Microsoft for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that there is some confusion out there a little bit. I think some people think that SkyDrive and storing your profiles in the cloud and syncing with other devices are kind of the same. And there is some crossover there, but they're actually two separate entities.
Okay, so you're talking about the data that's in SkyDrive and then my profile that's part of the Microsoft accounts. Is that right?
Right, exactly correct.
Yep. So it's a good point. So SkyDrive is something you can see, touch, and feel, and those are the things that you control directly in the data. And your profile is really just something we've been managing for kind of a while, your password and settings like that, your picture and other preferences. And now we've kind of added additional capability that is something we provide as a service and then again can be tapped in by the app ecosystem as part of your identity that runs those apps.
Yeah, and so I want to make sure that people understand how cool this is. I just bought two brand new Surface 2s. I bought the regular Surface 2, and I bought the Surface 2 Pro. When I unboxed my Surface 2, I signed in with my Live ID, and the first thing that it asked me was if I wanted to pull my apps and my settings down. And it was almost instantaneous. all I had to do was say yes. A few minutes later, my Surface was provisioned. It was ready to go. And I really didn't have to interact a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other benefit you'll see, and I think we started this even with Windows 8, was the Wi-Fi setting. So the beauty is, again, who you are in one device carries over because you're probably going to use that device in the same way. So your wireless SSID and passwords are saved. So when I go home or when I go to another environment where I'm always connecting, that next device is connecting just easy, and I don't even have to think about it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, feature number two. Elia, favorite feature number two. What's your second favorite feature?
I would say what we did with split screening just absolutely is amazing, right? So we started off with that one-third, two-third almost kind of combination. The applications were designed around that. And now we have the 50-50 and kind of, shades in between. And that lets you as the user kind of control exactly how you want to do that multitasking in that modern way. So that desktop actually becomes useful when you're in that split mode before you had to give it so much space. Otherwise, it flipped into that task mode. Kind of selection. So now that split screen really, really makes that functional. My ability to look at it in that Excel spreadsheet while I'm cranking on a call with other folks and collaborating on that, it finally is there. And that starts to bleed into the other things that we did with those modern apps. We can do multiple instances of a modern application on the same screen. We can do that on multiple screens. Before it was that single screen experience, and now we're moving that multitasking out from one screen, multiple times on one screen, and then out on other monitors.
Cool. Can you give us a demo of that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so here I am in my desktop, and I love my background here, the no mouse kind of icon. But I certainly am on a device that has a mouse. It's actually a two-in-one device that has a rich mouse use and certainly a touch screen. So I'm able to use all the things that Windows 8.1 is able to leverage. And so as we were talking about the ability to split screen. So here I am just dragging around a simple file explorer. And in this case, I'm going to actually switch to a modern application. I have my list of applications. One of my favorites is an application that Microsoft makes. It's the Power BI application, so I get that rich modern screen view. And in this case, I can, the app actually lets me slice and dice info. But in this case, I'm going to move it into a 50-50 view, split that, and bring the desktop over. And in this case, what we didn't have in Windows 8 was the ability to make that desktop useful in a kind of smaller split. In this case, the application is letting me, we'll bring another application as an example. Let's use Mail. Mail is a great example of being able to squeeze that. So here I am in desktop view, and I can slide and control different views and let that application tune. And notice that the desktop is pretty functional, and I can still move around and control things, and something I wasn't able to do before. So people, again, are doing spreadsheets and working collaboratively on Link or Skype. They're able to really control what they want to focus on. So I think this is one of those just amazing tuned capability that we introduced with Windows 8 and made even better with Windows 8.1.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I love the fact that we can do that. And it's much more useful because of the fact that we can, we get more than just the one-third, two-third screen split.
Yeah. And what we did are pretty clever. These are the little things that you start learning about as you're using it. You can see that where I'm clicking in the middle, it shows you which application is the focus. I'm kind of just moving over the little tab over those three icons, and that puts the settings context. Remember that everything is a setting that's specific to what you're focused on. In this case, I'm back on the mail because that's where that tab is focused. So I have the settings specific to that application. And if I'm on the other side, I flipped over. You can see that slant bar just again to the right of those three dots in the middle. And if I go back to settings, I now have desktop control, and these go back to my personalization. So really those important capabilities that I'm able to focus and move to a different application.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you for showing us that.
Sure. And I brought out Outlook here. This is one of those new changes. You can see that Outlook, the Mail app, so it was called just the Windows Mail, is now rebranded as Outlook, connecting back to the Outlook.com. This is not Microsoft Office Outlook, but just called Outlook. And notice that we have some great, rich email features that are just kind of inbox. So if you haven't tried it before, it's a great way to sort your mail out in a modern way.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, so Elia's favorite feature number three. What's your favorite, what's your next favorite new feature?
Yeah, so I think it's where we start looking at search and integration, right? This is one of those things that we start building on with those contracts. So we introduced the search and share, and now we call it the hero search. So if we look at Marilyn Monroe is commonly used as an example of searching everywhere, we integrated Bing, and if I search here, I get this rich, really rich experience. And this is just that catered search. This is a modern view, and it's brought the pictures, the Wikipedia info, I can play things that are relevant, I can look up movies, I just get this just gorgeous, gorgeous view of info that's giving me rich context for something I'm looking for. Now, if you want to look at other scenarios of, hey, I'm kind of into shark cage diving, and I'm going to search for that, and if I, or let's actually just do scuba diving in this case, I'm also going to find not just what I would expect from that kind of hero search, but I'm also going to find some information about applications. So here's I'm in the middle here, and I can search a diving log, Windows Store app. So I'm getting kind of rich context of things that are coming from the web, things that are local files, and applications. In this case, hey, I'm just going straight to a diving log. It launches me into the store, and I can, as we've seen before, I have a modern experience to push button and deliver an application.
Wow, that's really cool. So how long have I known you? 5 or 6 years? Longer?
No, I think a bit longer. I think even the XP days, let's say that's been quite a while.
Right, that's right. So how long have you been into shark cage diving?
I think I've always wanted to do it, and I did it a few years ago, and the ultimate, that was with not a great white, but there will be a great white in plan at some point. So.
Wow. So what type of sharks do you normally get to hang out with?
Ones that are not man-eaters.
Where do you do that?
I've done it in Hawaii, and I did some non-cage shark diving in Bahamas, and South Africa will be next.
Wow. Dude, that's awesome. I want to see some of those pictures.
Yeah, so if I really prepared this right, you would see my photos coming through, my true personal experience that shows that shark cage or shark dive I just did in July. It would be popping up right here in that photo experience and reminding me every day why I do what I do to keep diving.
That's freaking awesome. Okay, on to number four.
Yeah, so I think there's a number of things that Windows 8.1 starts to bring to life. We've certainly seen just an incredible set of releases around management, around the infrastructure, around Active Directory, and one of those is Workplace Join. I'm sure there's lots of information out there, but just think about what Workplace Join does. It allows our Windows 8.1 device that's not a corporate managed device to enter into and be managed in some way by IT. It's some way to recognize that RT device or that bring your own device has some principle, some anchor point of understanding what this device is. And that lets us start delivering those applications and if we need to manage that device even deeper. So that Workplace Join capability is going to be an incredible capability over the next few years that our enterprise customers are going to enjoy.
So can they push policies down to RT devices?
So when you talk about policies, that goes into the next level of management of the device. The way to think about Workplace Join is that initial registration and an awareness around that device.
So it allows me to join my device to a domain.
Correct, because we didn't have that choice before. It was either on or off. Now we have something that lets us be aware of what that device is and start to give it access to, let's say, a web application or get to additional capability.
That's pretty cool. So just to be clear, there is a difference between policies and awareness, right? So we can't push policies like we could do to a standard PC, but we do allow the device to join the domain, and there are some things that we can do.
Correct. Yeah. So let's call it the initial registration that sets some things up as context and gives us access to things. And then as we need to deliver deeper, richer management, we would look at the solutions around Configuration Manager, Intune extending that, and certainly really what we're opening up the system now for is third-party MDM, something we weren't able to do before. And now with OpenMDM and being compliant to the OMA DM API, we now allow customers who have an investment with other solutions to be able to do that kind of management. So it really starts to open up the capabilities of the Windows devices.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I'd like to point out that right out of the box, we have a lot more control over the Surface devices, than we do over some of our competitors' devices that somebody may bring into the environment.
Yeah, correct. And it's Surface, and if you and even bigger, right? It's Windows. So if it's Windows or an RT device that can't be joined in the domain, you're going to look to first workplace join, and then do some perhaps a deeper management with Intune. And if need be, and if there's an existing solution, we can work with that as well.
Awesome. What are some other things that we can do with 8.1 that we couldn't do with 8?
So I think one of the most interesting things is some auto-triggered VPN. So I have applications. This is something that was problematic for an enterprise application. So if it's a modern app, but it talked to an internal site or database and needed that, you'd have to have the user first connect and make sure that network was there. Otherwise, the application wouldn't do anything. And now we have the ability essentially to set up that pipe on the fly, have the application call out and connect. So again, just making that end user experience, that productivity story even better, something that the app owner, the enterprise can define on a per application basis and create that pipe in the background. I think some of the other kind of, these are those interesting features that are end user realized, but something that IT delivers and becomes that hero is you look at Windows to Go, which was something that was starting to, it was introduced with Windows 8, and we had some initial limitations to control the scenarios around store access and the applications that would go on there, and we've opened that up. It's now easier to deliver the applications on those devices, the store apps, and be able to roam again across those devices. So really, really tuning those scenarios and getting that even better. And you're actually seeing this is we opened up we made a change in our application policy a few weeks ago. So if you're a user who uses those Windows Store applications across devices, you previously saw a limit of five devices, and you had to manage that. So for a person who does a lot of demos, that five may sound like a big number, but you run into it quickly. But we're going to certainly see that scenario grow for even a common use case. We actually made that change to 81 devices now. So if you have a user profile that needs to be shared for whatever reason across a base of devices, that sets that up. And frankly, we're going to see people using multiple devices, and the application scenario will make sense there.
Yeah, absolutely. I love Windows to Go. It's one of my favorite aspects of 8.1. In fact, I'm helping a customer with it Monday morning. And kind of looking forward to that. So one of the things that I figured out today that I wasn't aware of, you know, every once in a while I'll just be playing with my device and I'll come across some really cool new feature that, you know, you don't see in a lot of the documentation. I love storing my video and my audio on an SD card. And with the original Surface RT running 8.0, I'd pop my SD card in, and then I really couldn't get the applications to recognize that as a legitimate store for music or for video because it was a removable device.
Yep.
Yeah, and 8.1 seems to fix that. I tried it today, and it worked like a champ. So very, very happy about that.
Yeah, and of course, I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about some of the other UI features, like we brought the start button back, which lets you access some controls. If you right-click, if you're one of those IT pros, you know, I still use my Windows X and click on M, and I get straight to device management if I need to when I'm in the desktop mode, and being able to do that actually in an RDS session. Those were a little bit of challenges for IT pros, even if you're able to navigate the start screen. So having that start button as an anchor wherever you are and being able to control the settings that you want, if you're a local session or a remote session, made it much better.
Yeah, absolutely. When I talk to people about 8.0 or 8.1, one of the things that I always tell them is don't be afraid to swipe from off screen to on screen on all sides of the screen. So adding the start button just makes things a lot easier from that perspective as well. You still swipe, all of those features are still there. But now if you want to switch quickly between the two interfaces, it's just a matter of clicking the start button. And also, don't be afraid to right-click. Right-clicking the start button gives you some pretty cool stuff as well.
Exactly. So all those things, we call them, you know, UI enhancements, but if you really look at what's behind that design principle, it's to make the productivity, it's to make you, you know, more productive, connecting to the pieces that you were used to, as well as and kind of enhancing the experience going forward. You know, Ubuntu Desktop is another example of that. We had feedback. We acted on the feedback. We're allowing people to connect and go straight into that session, because if that's the apps they're using, that's great. They can use that. There's no forcing one way of doing work. We've never been about forcing you to do one way.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ubuntu Desktop is actually something that I didn't really care about either way, but man, there are some customers that love that absolutely love being able to force a Ubuntu Desktop.
Absolutely, and you know, again, the story builds on from there that we don't litter the start screen. An app that gets installed doesn't automatically pop up. You're still in control. You control what needs to be on that start screen. Your focus, and then you can lay out the boot to desktop and the desktop icons as you want to. So, I should say that's the boot to desktop. The icons that are not the start screen. So you can have all the applications that are not top priority listed by date install, by whatever category essentially you want. So you have really, again, choices: start screen, full menu of icons, and the desktop. And really kind of the next piece from there is looking at an assigned access mechanism, kind of starting that kiosk type capability of this is the app that this user needs to use. I can essentially assign that application and put that control level. So again, all spectrum of full control to I can do whatever I want. I'm the full end user in control.
Cool. So this is a bit of a wild card question, but is there one new feature in 8.1 that you absolutely couldn't live without?
Yeah, I would say it's actually this first one I talked about. I just don't think I can live by across devices without my personality coming with me. Spending time and configuring one device, I don't think we do that anymore. Think about those times, you know, back in when you and I first met in XP days, right? How much time would you spend to configure that device exactly the way you wanted, and you would be so loath to reinstall or something that forced you to move to another device, right? Now we're pretty loose with how much time we spend in a particular device in a configuration. We're ready to move on to the next device. We're ready to move on to that next experience. So I've come to rely on the system and the services doing that for me. It's my concierge. It's doing it for me. I don't have to care. I can just get to the apps, the settings, everything I want, the cloud, the data, the services.
Yeah. I agree with you. That is really cool and makes things so much easier. All right. Well, listen, man, thank you so much for doing a show for us.
Yeah, thanks, Lex, for having me and letting me talk about Windows 8.1. Again, it's always something fun to talk about. I talk about it daily, and I always enjoy finding another capability or feature to share. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries. So just a couple of things to point out. If you're out there and you're still running XP, it's time to upgrade. Thanks again, Elia. And guys, that's your Taste of Premiere.